As I was totally innocent of the charges from her sickly made imagination, I could generally be relatively calm, but it just angered her fragile mind to even more violent attacks. These scenes were for me an awful pain. I sometimes could not endure, but left her on the long lonely walking until the mind came into balance again. When I then came back, she could also be happy and calm as if nothing had passed, but any agreement was never made, only a silent conciliatory. And so everything went quiet again, until she again got an attack from her suspicious temper. It was in the month of July 1870. The political horizon was obscured by heavy clouds and a discharge could at any time be expected. Cecilia did not believe it. Mere possibility that I could be commanded in a war was for her a completely foreign idea. Incidentally, she said she could never survive a long divorce from me. Now the mobilization order arrived. Within 4 days the regiment would be prepared to pull to the French border. Cecilia was heartbroken, she wrung her hands, fell into hysterical tears and talked of suicide, if I were to go away from her. She begged me to take leave or elope with her far away, where no penalty or infamy could reach me. I worked restless night and day on what now was my duty, to mobilize with my squadron. In connection with the mobilization, I had been promoted to captain. The few moments I had for my own person and my home, was filled with the most conflicting emotions. How much I suffered, however, was the feeling I had for Cecilia yet so strong, that even I with trepidation thought of this divorce, which I never a moment thought of avoiding. But on the other hand, I was so upset by all the friction between us, especially now in these hysterical attempts to induce me to betray my duty, that I could not help but feel it was a relief when finally trumpet signal resounded to the breakup. My mother was calm and strong as ever. "If I no longer get to see you in life, my boy, so take now my thank for the sunshine you spread across my path. Do as male, faithful your duty, as you always have. God be with you." Cecilia could not of her crying, utter a word, and I left her unconscious in my mother's arms. Yet one last flick through the compartment window and I rolled away towards the unknown, gloomy fates. How could I choose to be a soldier? I who feel like a creep right down to my toes when I seize a wound or just hear about someone hurting themselves. But it's amazing what the thunder of guns, the smoke and heat of the battle has the ability to numb the physical sensitivity, at least for now. When the battle is over, when the wounded were gathered, when the mutilated horses had been killed, when the fallen are buried, then I feel like I was bleeding from a thousand wounds, then, neither the victory cheer or award for bravery shown, can mitigate the pain that tears and rips in my mind. Why should I have to go through all this? Why should I be required to command shock on fleeing enemies? Has it not floated enough blood? The victory is ours, a defeated enemy ought to be protected. But war is a refined cruelty, nothing can stop the systematic slaughter. All human emotions are numbed, it comes to dead or dying. And no doubt in the election. Battle of Sedan is fought, the French eagles are trapped and our troops' cheer is indescribable. But the victory has cost many sacrifices. Hospitals are full of wounded, and doctors have a job that exceeds human capabilities. Many brave to die without having received even a first aid kit. Myself, I lie in a field hospital badly wounded. The right leg is amputated just above knee. A shell splinter has shattered knee and torn lower leg. A mild fever appeared, but the doctor says there is no danger to life. Danger to life? I would have thanked him if he said that my days were numbered. Around me, moans and groans. New victims are worn out, they are laid on the floor with a field coat for themselves, then of the beds are not enough. Doctors and medical soldiers are working, so that large beads of sweat wilt their foreheads. A death one, is carried out to make room for a new dying. Blood stains all over the bed and floor. An obnoxious smell of carbon fill the room. I try to close my eyes to avoid seeing all the misery, but the whimpers and groans around me, and my imagination paints worse horrors than the real ones. I'm trying to sleep, but the burning the heat in my right leg keeps me awake. Finally, I am so restored to me an ambulance train can take me home again. Home. The thought is hardly capable to inspire me any joy. It's like a little feeling told me also home is amputated. During the 7 weeks that have passed since I left my home, I have only received 2 letters from my wife, both of little value, complaining doom and nothing else, not a genuine expression of a strong and bearing feel. I have myself sent few short pencil lines when the opportunity presented itself thereto. If my wound, I have not written a word, nor informed Cecilia about my homecoming. Now it was my re-entry home in twice a surprise. Supported on 2 crutches I entered the salon. There sat my wife in so lively conversation with an old man, my old schoolmate Rudolf Gerstecker, that she did not immediately notice my entry. I bumped crutch to the floor. She uttered a cry. Fritz! Is that you? Oh God, you scared me! How is it, are you hurt? And then came an entire stream of announcements and regrets. Rudolf looked like a court criminal. He crept slowly toward the door, stammering some words that he would not interfere again our seeing of joy, and disappeared without even having taken my hand to welcome. As the light of a flash I understood in a moment how everything was. My wife had thrown herself in another's arms, my home was devastated, my happiness death. The next day. Mother sitting by my side, holding my hand tenderly. What she is touchingly sweet when she was in the most penetrating way, ask me out on everything related to the amputation, care at the field hospital, the trip home, and how the dear features reflecting the sufferings about which I tell her. Cecilia has probably also asked, but she has not had any response. The questions were to come so close to each other that I did not even have time to answer them. Her thoughts have been on elsewhere, I suppose. But now sat mother and I on confidential talk, and still like in the olden days, when I was her loving soul who laid down all my thoughts, all my sorrow and all my joy, and she accepted them as treasures, them she wanted to preserve. Mother, what do you know about Rudolf? Nothing for certain, but rumor has had great deal to do with his frequent visits with Cecilia. I have not wanted to listen unto less than spy on them, but. Well, you know I always mourned over your choice, now I do it even more. If she is innocent then I however, seen enough to know how little she may be for you and how little you mean to her. Why could not that grenade been so friendly and hit a meter higher? The blind coincidence that leads bullets passing, is a capricious master. Or maybe it's not a chance. But in that case he is cruel, he who is behind and pulls the strings, cruel when he killing and cruel when he does not kill. What I have pondered on the problem. I had lust to fulfill what the cheater left undone. No, you must not, my Fritz. I can probably neither not, so long as you live. But what shall I do? Here I sit like a cripple for the rest of my life, chained to her that in me only sees as a burden. She cannot bear nor escape. Have you ever really loved this woman? Yes, as I understand it, but maybe I have not a clue what love is. I'm to myself a mystery. There you said a true word. I think you never really understood yourself. Do you understand me, mother? So tell me what you know about my innermost being. I think you are like so many others gone in search of happiness but followed and entered on a wrong path. You mean that it is her exterior that blinded me? Perhaps. And perhaps the vanity of owning this beauty? Perhaps. Yes, it is possible, but I tell you, mother, that she had come to me with just 1 ounce of real tenderness. I had yet felt happy and able to build me a sanctuary of calm seclusion with her and my books. I hope that you get a safe haven without her. What do you mean? Do I know her right? She longs for freedom herself. Mother was right. One morning the chambermaid came in and told me that it must have happened Baroness something, because her bedroom was empty and the bed untouched. She had gone out in the afternoon with a small bag in his hand and said that she would come home at night, but had not been heard from. We lived so isolated from each other, met hardly other than at mealtimes, She often went out without saying where she was going, and I put no ribbon on her. Sometimes she stayed away for supper, as she said, at a youth friend. I hold there for no heater that she was gone the night before, but overnight she had yet never been away. What should I believe? It came over me a dreadful anguish. A bit later, my mother came up. She looked worried. Where is Cecilia? She asked. I do not know. She went out yesterday at 6 o'clock without telling me goodbye and has since not been home. Then she eloped with Gerstacker, for he is also gone. I met his companion, who told me that he was missing at the office and at the request of his residence had revealed that he, without saying a word, gone off at 6 a.m. fully dressed for a journey, and then not come back. Then, they have taken the courier train to Vienna. It is 6:35. I have to go after them and bring her back. Calm your Fritz. First and foremost, you cannot make it on your own, hardly fully restored as you still are. And how can you imagine that you would be able to track them in the great world city? My legs are now so good that I am doing very well on my crutches. How I will find them? Yes, I do not know. I only know that I must try to bring her back, or else she goes under. I know Rudolf, an unscrupulous wild man. He is celebrating her as long as the sensual intoxication lasts, then he throws her away like a worn-out garment. Has she well deserved else? Mother, now you're tough. She is my wife, and after all what she'd done me to feel happy if she came back and wanted to devote to myself only a small degree of soreness. And I think she would do it. My dear boy, how little you even know her. She has never had any real feelings for you, and the little she gave you has flowed from its source, and has long since dried up. She is dead for you, search not up her. But mother. Well, suppose that you could bring her back. Is your own feeling strong enough to carry yet another disappointment? Do not you think it would all end up in constant friction, that ye only will poison the life of each other? Consider yourself well before you pull the responsibility of needs. In her fault you have no debt, but you pull a guilt on you if you again seeking bind you to this woman that does not in any way belong to you and are already gone away. She was her way to go, it is certainly heavy. But it is perhaps the way in which she will find herself. Let us hope so. But mother, let's at least wait. Will she voluntarily return? So it's some hope of her change of mind, but do not drag her by force into your home again. It founds just a bitterness that you can never overcome. Maybe you're right, mother. Weeks turn into months, months to years. Here I am shipwrecked and abandoned. The only pleasure I have left is mother, but she is old and frail now, weary and no energy to go out. I may stumble up her stairs. What life can be meaningless, heavy and long? Will it then never end? Why should I have to live, just to loathe life? I do no good, and the little joy I possibly give my mother with my visits, are too scanty to justify life. I have a poison bottle in my chiffonier. Why do I not empty it? Am I afraid of death? Should I not be more afraid to live? Or I wait yet on anyone? Perchance. Smoke pipe and rapo is my only companion. He puts his head in my lap and looks at me with her brown, faithful eyes that he wanted to say, do not grieve, you have me, and I will never leave you. I stroke his silky ears. Yes, dear rapo, you are faithful and. Where is she now? Hardly by Rudolf. His banker business in Vienna did go failing. Of course did not the brittle bond between them hold at the crash. Has she thrown herself in the arms of someone new knightly blue beard and basking in the glory of his gold, or has she started the journey downhill and prowling like a joy girl on the richly illuminated boulevards? If I were to go there and spend my evenings to go up and down outside the most visited variety entertainment. Maybe I'd meet her. Maybe she would sink down for my feet under the sense of her guilt. I would lift her up, call for a cab and bring her home to my hotel and. So, what would I do then? Would I dare to bring her back to the home that she destroyed? Could I invite her arms she once abandoned and never longed for? But what if she sickens me her life? What if she longs to a sanctuary where she can get hide? Well, what if she is an honorable woman, who drools and working to sustain life? I can see her in a skimpy costume work, then she urgent steps hurrying out from factory, home to her little garret, where she is both freezing and starving. How many times she has not started on a letter to me, but it has always fallen into the stove. She is afraid of not getting any answers and even more to get one that contains a few lines of ice-cold scorn. She would not be able to survive. Alas, she does not know it is, how it cries within me, how I too suffer distress. As I still can feel the pain in the legs I lost, I even feel anxiety in the being torn away from me. So I have been bound and is still something close to the depth of her being. When she went here and tormented me with her sentimentality and her superficiality, I knew not, however, she meant so much to me. Now, it has increasingly dawned on me. What does that mean? Is there among us a secret band? Is it true that some mystic states, always two and two are made for each other and that they have to suffer to happiness of a lasting union, since they were first made each other all sorts of evil? But it presupposes a previous existence as well as a continuation, one hypothesis as problematic as the other. No certainty, no reality except the moment nagging worries and meaningless nothingness. Ever since I was alone, I have kept Weena Tigblad in hopes of possibly detect any trace of the fugitive. I read it with care as I do not engage our own newspapers, especially police reports, accident etc. Now finally I have found something that casts a terrible light on the riddle I go and ponder. Here is the former banker Rudolf Gerstacker been arrested for forgery, but of her not a word. Now they may have been separated, if not before. Prison gate have taken him, and she standing alone outside, perhaps sick and miserable, and I cannot take her wounded soul in my care. What fate is cruel? My mother died in the night. You dear expensive mother, deserve thanks for the warmth you gave me, for the ewe light thrown across my path. Without you, the earth was for me a hell, but you have borne me, and you have kept me going. Where dwell you now? If someone could convince me of the immortality of the soul, so is you, mother. Your strong and warm spirit cannot frostbite or dissolve the cool the dust incurred. You live, it is not possible otherwise. Shall I ever see you? A cripple like me, body and soul, I too hope for a continuation, or applies even beyond the grave Darwin's theory of the weaker's destruction, questions and nothing but questions. I hold in my hand a letter. Again and again, I've read it. It falls from its rose a flood of light over my mournful, gloomy mind. It is from a nurse in Vienna. She writes, I have promised to present to you one last greeting from what was once your wife. She has been here under my care, to the ending of her sufferings, it was cancer of the liver. As she has asked me to explain all that she entrusted to me, I've tried to, but difficult, with a slightly detailed letter. It is now 6 weeks ago, she was registered at our hospital, where she got a place at the individual's room. She was very sick, not only to the body but even more to the soul. One of life's storms so devastated, I have never seen. And yet, she was still beautiful, eyes could radiate with a rare splendor and features had at times a weakness that one could hardly believe possible in such a furrowed face. She had a softness in its essence and a need to infer yes, that was touching. So repulsive that she at first sight seemed to me, however, I was drawn more and more to her and ended up loving her as I have never cared to the patient. She was delightful sweet. At first, she was closed, almost shy, and never spoke of herself, but in proportion as we came closer to each other, she became more communicative, and I eventually got her confession as complete as possible, and she hid nothing, and it gave her also a peace of mind that she too well needed. Her tortured soul had peace before it took leap into the great unknown. Peace, she probably also the under one condition, that you forgive her. And so you do you not? You may not do otherwise, I feel it, because I think I know you by Cecilia's portrayal of the man she once owned. Perhaps she was biased, but for her you were more of a saint than the average person. How bitterly she regretted not all evil she made you, feeling sick, and the shameful jealousy which she poisoned your life with. She did not understand how bad she was, how she thus only repelled the tenderness she went deep and yearned for. She was not awake yet. In her mind worked great passions that she not herself understood and did not do anything to lead in the right track, and that therefore took the form of hysterical cryings and other equally unhealthy emotional outpourings. So you pulled out of the war. It was your duty, but with her morbid view of the relationship you had in between, she saw therein only a sign that your feelings for her was extinct. She was contrary to the best she could wretch, to keep her own sense alive, but she had an unfortunate needs to always be crying at someone's chest, and therefore fell soon in another's arms, and where she was lying. She was too weak and he is unscrupulous, no love was on the either side. I do not know anything more tragic than the fate of women, which just to cry out the ambiguous feelings that storms in her interior, throwing herself into the arms of the first who gets in her way. And I know nothing contemptible than the male egoism that is serving of this helplessness for its low aims. You were too high-minded to claim the reckoning the intruder, and she wanted you not bind with other bands than those of devotion she could bear. She has since realized, when interpreted she's withdrawal as a refrigerant, and that was what she least of all could endure. Poor Cecilia, what she deceived herself. But you must not think that it was the reckless intoxication she left her home. It cost her fierce fighting in solitude with herself, before she was ready to give way to the prayers whereby the unscrupulous besieged her. So they travelled. He had brought his small fortune, which he loosened the track money, and at first they lived a merry life in the happy Vienna. But below the delirious joy gnawed already a bitter regret for the past and a trembling concern of the future. She tried to deaf these uninvited guests, but they did not allow himself silence. He had started a business and therein deposited all his little capital. Within a year he was ruined and fled without saying a word, without leaving a line behind him. Poor Cecilia! What would she do? Ideally, I wanted to draw a veil over the period that followed, but she has told me not to hide anything. Just as mercilessly as she exposed herself before me, she wanted me would expose her to you. It was, she said, the only sacrifice she could bring you. Well, she had no one to support and help her, so she could not travel home and work. She had never learned, but she had a beautiful voice and looked good, and so was she, perhaps more because of her looks than her voice, employment in a variety show. But the ill-fated landscape artist brought with it a bohemian lifestyle that seized her with rough hand and pulled her deeper and deeper into moral dirt. She had started this life with the best intentions to keep themselves clean, that only work for a living, and that when she managed to collect a little bit, pull back and live a quiet life with his colorful memories. But she had overestimated her own powers. Character weak as she was, and easy lift of the flattery that reigned over her, she dreamed of to be a great diva who could not be measured with the same dimensions as other deadly and was not bound by the same moral law as the great mob, sophistry, with which she sought silence the inner voices. She was touching when she so there went to grips with herself and mercilessly pulled up both her faults and his previous attempts to defend them. So went several years. She thought she was totally having overcome the memory of the past and had indeed, by boisterous orgies almost succeeded in silencing the accusing voice within her own breast. But then came the disease slowly and insidiously. In the beginning, she felt the just like a stitch in his side, which embarrassed her when she was singing, but soon took the graver forms and she has to leave her involvement. That at one time relegated from the spotlight, the applause and the nightly drink beaten their abhorrent final scenes for an enclosed, isolated out life. The ever-growing physical torment, it was for her a staggering case. But it was the rescue. The memories came and stood in line, she searched drive them away, but they came back more and more and more threatening, more and more and more insistent on settlement. She was in the bottom good and weak nature, she could not harden herself. It opened her eyes. Alone with himself and her pain, she saw everything in a different light. It dawned on her how terrible she deceived herself, how she basically loved you and never loved anyone else, how she longed to crawl to your feet in order to receive, cry out all her shame. Such she came under my care, physically broken, near death, and deeply devastated, but also spiritually prepared by the power of repentance so true, so honest as one which has opened the gate of heaven. I could hardly do to relieve her physical pains, but I'm happy to have been able to give her the help she needed better, a heart for which she could open her. When the end came, she took my hand and pressed it gently. "Have thanks, sister," she said. "You have been giving rest to my soul as thought food. When I'm gone, you will write to Fritz about everything I talked. You hear it, everything. Tell him that if it is a life after this, I want to dedicate it to make myself worthy of his respect. My happiness depends on his forgiveness. Now she is gone and has been so empty around me. She had so completely filled my soul that it felt like something of my own being taken away from me when they carried her out and hid her in the dark earth. Stranger death, what are you hiding that you cannot destroy?" My letter was longer than I originally intended and not free from my own thoughts. "For them, I ask kindly indulgence. Yours respectful, Sister Beatrice. You supreme ruler over our destinies. I think that you and your government form is love. I thank you for allowing me to experience the moment when I got the assurance that she is saved. Now I still biding the day you free my spirit bands. Thy will be done." Continues. Second book to open. This true, still more from a dictated message from the other side of death, is about, as he writes later, a chain of lives, when I have been in touch with a woman, having through all those lives, been my wife, and about him, who always wanted to steal her away from me. We follow the persons here backwards in time, through those earlier incarnations. I open another book and images come to meet me from another life on earth, my penultimate. I want to try to catch them in some simple outlines. We're now moving nearly three centuries back in time to the late 1500s. From now, means past the millennium, then more than 400 years back in time. On a small farm in Savoy, in one of the valleys leading up to Montana Blanc, lived at this time a farmer named Littreau with his wife and two children, the red-cheeked, dark-eyed Antonio and the pale little Viola. Littreau's father had immigrated from Italy and settled in this region, where he started a small winery that produced good harvests, until his son could transmit the small courtyard with its vineyards in good condition and no debt. "Here, I grew up, for Antonio it was me, in a good home, under happy circumstances and in a lovely nature. My sister was 2 years younger than me. She meant a lot for me. Nothing was more fun than to roam up in the vineyards with her or, when the sun was shining too hot, seek shade in the nearby beech forest. Father's dog Leo was both, in the same time, our protector and our playmate. His shaggy coat was our pillow when fatigue took its toll. One time we children were to go an errand for mother down to the district. I was then 11 years. There was a long road and we were kept up for a while to be offered food. It was already dark when we went on our way home. Viola was scared, but I went and sang to keep us both in good spirits. Suddenly we stopped. What was it that moved her in the darkness of the forest? Viola wanted to run, but I held her back and stood listening. It sounded like crying and sobs. I plucked up my courage and went in the direction whence the sound came. Who is it? I cried. Then came up a little girl, she could well be about 5 years. She cried so that she could hardly get a word out. But this much I understood, that she had gone out to pick berries but was surprised by the darkness and did not find home. With time I received from her that her name was Anita and had home on a farm not far from ours. Viola and I took her in each hand, and we walked on. It was a starry August evening. When we had walked for a while, the moon came up above the treetops and cast magical shadows across the road. I remember what I fancy myself to be, a hero, who are two young defenseless girls in my captivity. Much had we not to say to another, for fear we were in a hurry all three of us. We hurried to come home, and Viola encouraged Anita and asked her not to be sad.